was brought to you by the Greek Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The heart of the nautical mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Ay, 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 live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus, and happy St. Valentine's Day.
Amen, and happy fourth anniversary for us.
Yep.
We celebrated it just a short while ago.
Yep.
But this is what number show?
This is 214 show.
Okay, let's let Al sing. Just add a tribute to Al.
This is a good time to let him sing. As a matter of fact, he left a message on my tape.
Uh-oh.
If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day. Let's be thankful for Lord Jesus when we want to find our way. Let's remember that.
And he's with us. Jesus is with us in everything that we think, say, and do. Now, Tony, we should really, listeners, this is kind of a rehash of so many things that we have experienced over these years.
4 years.
Yeah, and we really should talk to the people about how this show gets put together. We don't meet beforehand, do we, Tony?
No, we used to. We used to at the beginning, but we stopped it a while ago.
And we just pray.
And we leave it up to the Holy Spirit. Jesus and Holy Spirit. It's his show, and we just do what he wants us to do.
And we do that. And I pick music out in prayer.
Yes.
And then you pick out the saint of the day. I never know who the saint of the day is.
And I sometimes don't know until right before the show.
And also, at the end of each program, we try to bring in some prayer for healing. And we have had a number of people tell us that they really, truly enjoy what we do. And what we're after is evangelizing one soul. That's all we want.
One a week. We're asking for one a week.
And we've had so many things that have been so interesting on the program. What have you learned, Tony? I'm going to ask you a question.
What have I learned?
Let me ask you this, Tony. How did you first come up? No, I won't.
Well, it's a good question. I'm going to ask you that question, too. But I have learned that people... Listeners, our listeners, are so loyal, and that I believe somehow or other Jesus is allowing us to feed these people with the spirituality and the love that they're looking for. And he's shown us how to do this. I mean, like, hey, we were two stupid kids when we first started.
And now
we didn't know anything.
Two stupid
now
old men.
Two stupid old men. But he's, I think, I mean this from my heart. I think that Jesus knew there was a need to feed
his
people
sheep.
And to feed his sheep. And that not all his people and not all his sheep were being fed in certain different ways. And that this was just another way to feed them and to evangelize.
And you'd be surprised, I guess I'm going to talk about some of the things that people have told me. When we run the program and I hear from somebody, wow, that program was just what I needed to hear.
Yeah. I hear that. Oh, you know what? I hate to say this because I sound egotistical.
Well, but all right, but we're 4 years and we're
but I hear
quite a while into it.
Many times about our shows.
Yeah.
that it was exactly what I wanted to hear. You're really hitting the nose on the head on the with the hammer. You're really, you know, you're touching our lives. Oh, we listen to you every week. We don't want to miss you. These are the little things that I'm hearing.
And I hear again and again and again, you're not negative. You bring positive love of God to us. And that's what we want to do. We want people to understand God is alive and he dwells in them.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't make any difference what religion you are. He touches you.
You know, John, you're absolutely right. There's one God. Now, you said a mouthful then when you says it doesn't matter what religion we are, because there's only one God.
Yeah.
And we're all worshiping, and we're living the lives that God wants us to live in accordance with the scriptures.
Really?
That's our way of living by the scriptures, isn't it?
And we're nourished by the true presence in the Eucharist, which is why I'm Catholic.
And that's our gift.
That's it. And without that 1-2 punch, I'm lost. Now, there are people who don't believe in true presence in the Eucharist. Well, maybe sooner or later they will. But I don't. They're being touched by God's love.
Well,
and that's
that's
the
good.
Start.
You know what? That's a good topic of conversation.
Yeah.
The true presence of Jesus in the Eucharist.
Sure.
And those religions that don't actually believe in the true presence.
Yeah.
Well,
they're touched by the scriptures.
Yeah.
They touch others by the good works they do. You know, we have faith, but we also have to do good works. We had a gentleman telling us about evangelization being how you live your life. It's true.
Absolutely.
It's true. That has been such a learning experience for me anyway. And when we put the shows together, how many times have we been surprised by the power of the Holy Spirit?
Oh, the Holy Spirit, I believe, truly guides the show. I really do.
Yeah.
And the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? For some reason, sometimes things happen the way they happen through the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and how many times have you chosen a saint of the day, and it fit right into
and
the
it fit
program?
In. And I at the last minute, I was led to another saint, or the last moment I was led to another saint, and it just happened to fit right in.
And how many times too have. Has the continuity of the program just flowed as if we had written a script? And we don't write anything.
You know, the truth of the, now listen, this is true confession here,
uh-oh,
listeners. The truth of the matter is we don't write anything. John picks a few songs out. I do research the saints.
Yeah.
And most of the times, the one I research heavily, I don't use. I use another saint from the last minute. And we just let the Holy Spirit guide us in our conversation.
And even the music, even though I know there are some listeners, Nick and George and others, who don't like the music, but it just flows into the continuity of the program. And I have no idea when I choose music for the day, I have no idea how the program's going to go. And I'm amazed constantly that it flows right out of the conversation. And the song fits. It really is amazing.
The songs usually fit very well. Just like the saints.
Yeah.
The saints usually fit very well. The songs usually fit very well.
And the readings from our anonymous
contributor fit very well.
Yeah.
And lead us to what's going on.
And so then when we sit down, and if we were to map out a program, remember the time we both were fighting over what should be on the program?
Yes, I remember that time. I want you to understand. That's the first and only time we had a little bit of a disagreement.
And we
I want you to know that.
And Trevor,
Trevor's laughing.
we were disagreeing, and listeners, you know what happened on the show? Neither one of us wanted got on the radio show.
I just want to congratulate you Trevor, both
thank
of you.
Thank you, Trevor.
I've worked here for about 14 years, and I never seen anybody that persistent and so concerned about their program like you two.
Thank you.
The snow could be out there, cold weather.
We come.
And, you know, you all have chemistry together because people can't work together unless they have chemistry.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And the Bible says, can two walk together unless they agree?
Right.
They're
going to
be a disagreement, but it's still love. And I never seen you two diss each other on the radio. I see people do that a lot of times. I'm just glad for you two. And coming here on Saturday, I look forward to seeing you guys. When I don't see you guys, I say, oh, they're not going to be here this Saturday.
And we look forward to seeing you,
Trevor.
Would
you tell our listeners, Trevor, just don't go away. Would you tell our listeners about you and your ministry?
You're a very special person to us, Trevor.
We know that, but the listeners don't.
Don't know that.
Well, I'm a Dane elder at my church.
Okay.
I am the overseer for the rest of the ministers of my church. I've been saved about almost 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Started out as a deacon in my church, mm-hmm. and then I become a minister of my church, and then I become an assistant pastor there mm-hmm. for many, many years. Worked as my pastor for 32 years at the same church.
Wow.
I have ups and I have downs, but one of the things that I've learned that, you know, you not going to always have good days, but God is always good. And I kept that faith all down through the years. I believe that, you know, that things will come in the right time when God says it. You know, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that is what I do. You know, I don't have a whole lot like a lot of people, but I don't let that bother me. I still go to sleep at night
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
knowing that God is on my side because he told me I will supply every need.
And he does.
Yeah.
Were you baptized in the Spirit when you...
Yes, I baptized in the Spirit, yeah.
And then that came across and now the Spirit leads you, right?
That's right.
Because it leads us, too.
It leads us, and I guess the Spirit leads everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I hear people say, you know, God talks to you, you're crazy. And I said, well, I'm crazy, I'm very happy being crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you do show it when you do come here in the morning, both of you do show that.
We show a little nuts.
but it works. And listeners, we know, we hope that you are getting the message that this is a labor of love for us. And that if we both have sunk a lot of money into the program, but mm-hmm. that's the money is not our money, it's God's money.
That's right.
And he somehow lets us find a way to have this money to put it into the show.
Well, it's because you guys have always reached out to other people in need.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells me that, you know, that it's better to give than to receive. It also says, you know, that if you give, it shall be given back to you. Mm-hmm. And I was explaining to Dr. Palmer this morning that if you hold your hands like this, nothing can go in and nothing can come out.
Like in a fist.
That's right. You have to let your hands open so things can come.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you give, don't worry about it. God's going to make another way. It might not come in material money-wise, but it could come in health. It can come in prosperity in your home or maybe somebody going through a sickness. And God can heal.
Mm-hmm.
And he works in various ways. It don't always, because you give money, you're going to receive money. Sometimes it do, sometimes it don't. This always comes in different ways.
Yeah, you know what? Those are very wise words, Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
But you're not Catholic. How could you have wise words?
Trevor.
Now, well, listen, if you guys are crazy, so am I, because I'm with you guys.
That's right.
And you have a gospel day coming up, don't you, in March?
Oh, yeah. We have it's our fifth annual concert taking place on March the 28th. Going to be at the One Way Church of Christ. We have a lot of artists come
through. Springfield Boulevard?
That's right, 260 National 11 Merrick Boulevard. Last year, the place was so packed, even though the rain was coming, people was coming in. You know, when you give back, and that's what my partner, she's sick today anyway, so I'm praying for her recovery for Lady Ace. She's such a tremendous person that so easy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And she builds the website, take care of the Facebook, Twitter, and she does a tremendous job, and I'm so proud of her. You know,
tell people her name. They may not know her name.
We call her Lady Ace, but her name is Anne Marie Medica.
Okay.
And this is our radio name, Lady Ace. And she, people are so honored.
And your
by
name
her.
On the radio is
Preacher Man.
Preacher Man and Lady Ace. Yeah.
And you do the show with her, right?
Yeah.
Yes. We own on Saturday nights at 9 to 10.
I've listened to it.
And I've listened to it.
Sunday
too.
Morning at 9:30. Yeah.
But I went to your gospel fest about 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It was so honored to have you there, Dr. Palmer.
No, I loved going. It was wonderful. and these guys walked in from the street and they had such harmony.
Oh, yeah.
They were wonderful.
Yeah.
I remember them.
Yeah, the doo-wop guys.
Yeah,
they
were good. They were very good.
Acapella.
And all of that is God's love.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole thing, that's what we're about on the radio program.
I just want to tell you guys, you know, y'all are angels and don't even know it, because I really mean that.
You didn't see my red suit.
You didn't see his wings.
You all have such a great chemistry, and it's such a joy to be around you in the morning. And I have done shows, and I just wish I could just leave right away. But that's, you know, how, you know, when you're doing work, you know, you're not always going to be happy about it. But I enjoy hosting and engineering for you two guys, doing the show, so many shows, and I haven't missed a show yet.
No. 214 shows,
I'm here for every one of them.
Yes.
And I just thank God for both of you, all right?
Thank you so much.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
And Trevor, I have to tell you, you're our rock for the show. You are. Because you're the guy I call all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you do. He'll track you down, Mr.
Trevor,
Palmer.
Yeah, I know.
I track him now. But Trevor is our station engineer, but he's actually the guy that we rely on to put this thing through when there's going to be the hard times, when there's going to be a snowstorm, when we're going to be stuck, or when we can't make it.
That's right.
We call Trevor.
Well, you know, there's a song, believe it or not.
Okay.
That really would fit in with this. And it has to do with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, just going to go. There goes the Holy Spirit.
The sweet wind.
Yes.
Listen to this, listeners. No matter what you're facing in your life, the breeze of the Holy Spirit will touch you. Open yourself now and let the Spirit in. Let it flow over me. All over our listeners right now. Blow them over. Touch them, Lord. Come into their hearts. Touch them now. Thank you. you on fire yet, Tony? Are you on fire?
I'm on fire, baby.
Okay. I could see the smoke coming out of your ears. We hope he's touching every listener. Go out, Lord. You're the spirit of love. Spread out all over Long Island. Get into the hearts of our listeners. We don't care what religion people are. Touch them, Lord.
No. No,
bring them home.
We really don't care what.
I know we don't. I mean, we're Catholic, but that's all right.
We know there's only one God.
That's right.
And he's everybody's God.
That's
Trevor
right.
knows it too.
He's the God of love.
Yes.
God of love. And
how
his
we
spirit
worship
is
him.
Been given to us to teach us truth the way we work with it. And it's may not your truth may not be my truth, and it may not be Trevor's truth, but it's the spirit leading us to God's truth.
Yes. And we all worship the same God.
Amen.
And someday we will all be together as brothers.
Well, I have constantly in prayer we are to be one in love.
Yes,
all these man-made boundaries are to be gone. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Dr. Palmer, and Chiffer, you know that's the thing I'm concerned about, is that we all are one because God made us all.
Yes.
But I don't understand why the churches can't come together. Why is it up to so much concern about denomination? When the Spirit of God is in you,
right,
and is in me, like you say, everybody in the house run their house different. But when it comes to the love of God, we shouldn't have that barriers. You know, I can't fellowship with Catholic because I'm not Catholic. I can't fellowship with the Presbyterian and all. I'm not. That's just nonsense.
That is total nonsense.
You know, when God come back, yes. He ain't calling Catholic over here and the Pentecostal over there. He says, come unto me, all that are labor and are heavy laden. He's calling everybody.
And I was up at a conference up in upstate New York, anyway.
Uh-huh.
And they put me up at a bed and breakfast. And the owner of the bed and breakfast was a Baptist minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking me what I was doing. And I was saying, tell him I was going to talk at a retreat, and I was talking about God. And we mm-hmm. talked for a while. He said, we both agree on so many things.
Yes.
Why can't we get along? And I said, I had the answer. You want to know the answer?
Mm-hmm.
We were both right.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
God forbid we should give up being right
mm-hmm.
to accommodate or to listen
mm-hmm.
and to become one. Really, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Listen, become one in love.
That's right.
And let God lead us.
That's right.
And live up to your religion to its fullest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when you're out of your religion, reach your hands up and let the person
mm-hmm.
of God touch you
mm-hmm.
through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And it'll bring you home. That's what we're talking about in these programs. Personal interaction with God internally.
But I firmly believe.
You like the way I'm letting the music run?
Yes, I like the way you're letting the music run. And I like some of the things you're saying, by the way, Palmer. And it makes a lot of, you know, you do make a lot of sense.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I hate to say that, Trevor.
Trevor, it's the first time you ever told me I made sense. What am I going to do?
Trevor's falling off his chair. But I firmly believe that at the end, we're all going to be holding hands together.
I think so.
We're all going to be putting our arms around each other.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be hugging each other.
But stay away from me.
But you've never hugged me. And that someday maybe you will be hugging me. But I really do. I believe that that's going to be that's what's going to happen. We're all going to be one. We're all going to be holding hands, hugging each other, and we'll all be worshiping.
I still like the line God. I had in prayer, and I'm asking God in prayer, Jesus, does it make any difference to you what religion the people are? And he answered me this way. I used it before in the radio show. Well, let me explain it to you this way. I was Jewish, and it didn't work out so well for me.
Yeah, I know. You've used that several times.
I love that.
Yep.
You know, because he reads your heart, and he reads your soul, and he reads your mind. And if you want to be one with him in love, he'll take you where you are, and bring you to where he wants you to be. And that's really the bottom line.
Absolutely.
And you know, and I'm Catholic, and Trevor, you're evangelical, but we are being led by God.
That's right.
And there's just no two ways about it. I work with the people from the Greek Orthodox Church, and we're trying to foment unity with people. So one of the women, Teggy Jonides, runs a chanting that they do on Tuesdays, and it's 20 Greek people and maybe 10 Catholic people chanting together in front of the shrine of the Blessed Mother.
Yeah, but chanting like they're all one religion.
Yes.
That's the beautiful part of it. And that's what's going to happen someday. We are all going to be holding hands. We're all going to be chanting or singing and praying as though we all one.
And the Greek people were so welcoming. They spelled out the Greek chant phonetically so you could read it and chant. And to me, that was like tongues in the Holy Spirit. You know,
We had the good Monsignor on our show, the Greek Monsignor.
Father Eugene.
Yeah, that spoke very strongly about consolidating and combining and becoming one.
And I don't see that, and he mentioned, I don't see why there have to be two Easters and two Good Fridays between the Greek Orthodox and the Catholic Church. You just follow a different calendar.
Yeah.
And God doesn't follow calendars. He's timeless love. And he won't follow any calendar. And he'll touch each heart. We have a Catholic religion where a lot of people have fallen away. Don't go to church. And he says, all right, you're not going to come. I'm going to come to you. And I'm going to pursue you like the hound of heaven, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to pursue you. And I'll get you where you are. I've had Catholics in practice who have gone to the Baptist church and they studied scripture. Then they came back to the Catholic church. Now they had scripture and the teachings of the church. Isn't that wonderful?
Absolutely.
And you know, can there be heresies in there? Yeah, but I figure God can straighten that out. And if because God, to me, the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're not theologians. I'm not a theologian. You're not a theologian.
No, absolutely
not. Do you read
not.
Theological treatises? I don't.
Nope.
All I know is somehow or other, with all the problems I've had in my life, God is there. He touches us. And each and every problem. And I have people say, well, I don't believe in God. I said, well, that's all right. He still exists. His existence doesn't depend on what you believe.
No, but maybe someday you will.
Yeah, and you pray for the people.
Trevor, I'm dying to ask you a question, if that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
What was your turning point in life that brought you to God? Were you always there with God, or was there something that a moment in your life that an moment, let's say, was there such an moment?
Well, in a way, it is. My mom always kept me to church because she was a church person. She, I don't care what time of the night, the day, she dragged me to church with her. Mm-hmm. And then somebody witnessed to me, was seeing me. I was standing in the corner one day and said, you know, invite me to church. And come on to church. And I wasn't the type of a guy like a lot of guys. I didn't drink, smoke, and party, and I didn't believe in that, but I still didn't have God. And when I went to the service, I got convicted and was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit began to dwell in me.
Uh-huh.
And then it becomes my guidance. He began to guide me in all the way of the truth that I need to go. So the things that I used to do, I don't do them anymore because I become a new creature.
Ah.
All things are passed away and behold,
some
things. So that's my gotcha moment there when I went to the service.
The moment
got a hold of me right there in the service.
You just described in those few sentences what St. Teresa of Avila suggests in her book, Interior Castles.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you're never going to explain it to anyone unless they experience it.
That's right.
They will never understand God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're reading that book now, by the way.
Oh, it's a great book.
In our prayer group,
I know.
We're up to the fourth
mansion,
yeah.
But Tony, you got a book out. You're not telling nobody about it. I heard about it. I like to see myself. I seem like a powerful book. You know, that's the things that a lot of churches see. It's one thing to clap your hands and shout in the service. It's another thing is know how to do business, because the Bible tells us.
You better believe it.
You know,
mention the book.
You got
Tony.
To know how to do your finance. God says, "I wish above all that your soul prosper, and you have great success and be, you know, good health." So it's not just clapping your hands and going to church, but it's how to conduct yourself in life, how to deal with one another, how to minister to each other.
It's like the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what the Bible tells us.
That's right. You know, and it's more than just clapping hands and going to church. It's more. It's a lot of work to be done.
Thank you.
You know, it's about
soul.
Mention
your book, Tony.
Yeah, go ahead and mention the book, man.
Well, the book.
It won an award, too.
It won an international award, the Gold Seal Award. It's the entrepreneurship and business in a stressful economy. Mm-hmm. And it tells you all the things about running a business and the signs you should be aware of and the different ways of doing things and the different capital economic systems that are around.
So what led you to write that book?
Research.
Research.
Just research. It was starting in 2008. It was becoming a stressful economy.
Yes.
And I said to myself, this is a stressful economy. I think we need to write something about how we can survive.
Have you ever thought about going to churches and present that to the congregation?
No, I really haven't, but I have thought of giving it to my pastor for his finance committee.
Yeah, you know, maybe, Tony, this is a good time to talk about the nonprofit corporation. Why don't you tell our listeners what's going on?
So, listeners, we are now we have now become a nonprofit organization. It hasn't been finalized yet, so it's a pending nonprofit. But all the paperwork is in, all the numbers have been assigned, all the
approvals.
Paperwork has been done, and so we're just waiting now, and we do have our number. We're just waiting now for the federal and state governments to finalize it. So we should be getting that any day. And that means that anyone that contributes to the program or makes a contribution is automatically has a tax-deductible event because we're a nonprofit.
And we'll hear more about that as
we go along. Yeah, and we have sponsors that are waiting to sponsor our show.
I know.
And because of the nonprofit. So the nonprofit is pending, but it is in effect. And if anyone does make a contribution, they are able to deduct it off their income.
And we'll tell you more about
that. We'll talk more about it.
Because I'm heading towards paupership. You know? Penniless Palmer. You ever hear of Penniless Palmer?
But we have a business plan, a very in-depth business plan.
You did.
And we have we're pretty proud of the work that we've done. We've done a lot of work for the nonprofit, and we're just waiting to get the nonprofit, and we want to spread out. We want to spread out in the east, and we want to spread out in the west, where the sun rises and where the sun sets.
Good. North and south.
And we want to evangelize.
East and west.
East and west, yes.
Well, you know, we, listeners, we have scripture of every day.
Yeah,
we
do.
And we have a saint of every day.
Yes,
and
we do.
Who is your saint today?
Well,
I'm going to play music, whether you like it
okay,
or not.
Okay, and Saint is Saint Valentine, and today is a special day for me, because today is the birthday of my beloved, my lovely wife, Joan, and she's born on Saint Valentine's Day. So I would like to do this Saint Valentine in honor of Joan, who's his birthday, and also Rosemary Matej, who's also her birthday on St. Valentine's Day.
Who is Rosemary?
Rosemary is a parishioner.
Oh, okay.
A friend of ours that belongs to our prayer group. And her birthday is on St. Valentine's Day. So I want to dedicate this dedication to all those that have been born on St. Valentine's Day, all those that love someone because of St. Valentine's Day.
And you didn't bring me chocolates
today. No, this time I didn't. That's all a story right. We have to talk about 4 years ago.
Tell us about St. Valentine.
Okay. So, you know what? It's very difficult. St. Valentine's Day was a very difficult saint to research. Everyone has heard about St. Valentine, and he's the patron saint of lovers. So that's who I'm dedicating this to, all the lovers out there, mm-hmm. all the people that love their someone special. And of course, I love my someone special, and mostly special, because it's also her birthday.
Happy birthday, Joni.
Happy birthday, babe. And many, many more. And so he's the patron saint of lovers. And on this day, people send anonymous cards and presents to the ones that they love. But who is this Saint Valentine? What's about him? There's not too much that really can come up with, except I found something from a Father Frank O'Gara, who did study Saint Valentine.
Hmm.
And I think I'd like to share it. So flowers, candy, red hearts, and romance, that's what Valentine's Day is all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, but maybe not. The origin of this holiday for the expression of love really isn't romantic at all, at least not in the traditional sense. Father Frank O'Gara, who's in Dublin, Ireland, tells a story about St. Valentine's Day, the man behind this great, lovely, lover's holiday. He was a Roman priest at a time when there was an emperor called Claudius who prosecuted the church at that particular time. Father O'Gara explains, he also had a law that prohibited the marriage of young people. This was based on the hypothesis that unmarried soldiers fought better than married soldiers because married soldiers didn't have to worry about losing their lives. They worried about losing their lives and about how their wives and families were going to be supported if they died. So in his mind, he figured soldiers should not be married because they'll be afraid to give up their lives. I think we must bear in mind that it was a very permissive society in which Valentine lived at the time. So says Father O'Gara. Polygamy would have been a much more popular way of doing things than one man marrying one woman. And so Claudius was a believer in polygamy. And yet, some people seem to be attracted to the Christian way of life. But obviously, the church through that marriage was very sacred between man and woman, where the life and that it was to be encouraged. So it immediately presented a problem to the Christian church of what to do about this polygamy and Claudius. The idea of encouraging them to marry within the Christian church was what Valentine was all about. And he secretly married people because of this. Valentine was eventually caught marrying people and people showing their love. And he was imprisoned and tortured for performing marriages against the command of the emperor. The second they caught him, the legends surrounding Valentine's actions, they put him in prison. One of the men who was to judge him in line with the Roman law at the time, he was called Astorius, whose daughter was blind. He was supposed to have prayed with her. The young girl with such astounding effect that Astorius himself became Christian because with Father Valentine praying with her, she gained her sight back.
Mm-hmm.
In the year 269 AD, Valentine was sentenced to a three-part execution of being beaten, stoned, and finally decapitated, all because of his stand for Christian marriage, Christian love, and one man loving one woman. The story goes that his last words he wrote were in a note to Estella's daughter. He inspired today's romantic by signing it, "From Your Valentine."
Aww.
And so goes the Valentine. Do you remember the time I gave you on our first day, I gave you a Valentine candy?
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay. And you gave it away?
Well, I believe one man and one woman.
When Valentine means to me, as a priest, he said, is that there comes when you have to lay your life upon the line for what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that, even to the point of death.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's martyrdom, his three-way martyrdom, was not gone unnoticed by the general public. In fact, the church is one of the three churches that claim to house the remains of Valentine. Today, people make a pilgrim to the church to honor the courage and memory of this great saint. Valentine has come to be known as the patron saint of lovers before you enter into a Christian marriage and want some sense of God in your life, some great need of God appears in everyone's life. As we know, particularly in the modern world, many people are meeting God through the Son, Jesus Christ. If Valentine were here today, he would say to married couples that there comes a time when you're going to have to suffer. It's not going to be easy to maintain your commitment to the vows of your marriage, to the vows of the one you love, to the vows of the one you want to spend your life with. Don't be surprised if the gushing love that you have for someone becomes less gushing and maybe much more mature. And the question is that the person that's ready for me to spend my life with?
Mm-hmm.
So on the day of the marriage, they have to take into a context, Father O'Gara says, human love and sexuality is wonderful and blessed by God, but also the shadow of the cross. That's what Valentine means to all those lovers.
And that's nice. That's, you know, and today when marriage is under attack as not being just for a man and a woman.
Yes.
And you know, you say, well, I understand love, and I understand there's human love, but if God wanted us to be man to man and woman to woman, he would have made us that way.
He would have made us that way, yes.
But he didn't do that.
He would have made all men or all women.
Yeah.
But no, he made man and woman to reproduce.
Do you want to hear a joke about Adam and Eve?
Yeah, why not?
And marriage? Adam was created, and God looked and saw that he was lonely. So he put Adam to sleep, took a rib, and sent him over the other side of the hill. He created Eve. And when Adam woke up, he saw Eve. And he came out and said, God, what is that? He said, that's called a woman. Really? Yeah. What do you do with a woman? He said, go back over the other side of the hill, and I'm sure you'll figure it out. And a few minutes later, Adam came running out and said, God, what's a headache?
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's not in Scripture.
No, it's not. Well, anyway, Joan, I love you. Happy Valentine's Day. Happy birthday. And all those that have their birthdays on St. Valentine's Day, happy birthday, and many, many more.
Good. So what are we going to do now, Tony? Here we got 15 minutes left, and I can't do a soft shoe dance.
No, but you could.
Nah, what do you have to read here? You gave me something to read.
A little bit about the scriptures, maybe. Tomorrow's scriptures.
And this is from the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology.
Yes.
And for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time.
And I think you might have something to equate to that. I don't know if it's true, but I think you might have something to equate to that. Do you?
I don't know.
Well, read it.
In the Old Testament, leprosy is depicted as punishment for disobedience.
That's tomorrow's readings.
To God's commands, yes. Considered unclean, unfit to worship or live with the Israelites, lepers are considered stillborn to the living dead. Indeed, the requirements imposed on lepers in today's first reading, rent garments, shaven head, covered beard, are signs of death, penance, and mourning. That's what they said. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that either. I was shocked when I actually read the readings.
So there's more to the story in today's gospel than a miraculous healing.
Mm-hmm.
When Elisha, invoking God's name, healed the leper, Naaman, it proved there was a prophet in Israel. Today's healing reveals Jesus as far more than a great prophet. He's God visiting his people. A lot of people dispute that.
Mm-hmm.
Only God can cure leprosy and cleanse from sin. And only God has the power to bring about what he wills. The gospel scene in tomorrow's reading has an almost sacramental quality about it. Jesus stretches out his hand as God, and by his outstretched arm performed mighty deeds to save the Israelites. His ritual sign is accompanied by a divine word, Ephrata, which means be made clean. And like God's word in creation, Jesus' word does what he commands. The same thing happens when we show ourselves to the priest in the sacrament of penance. On our needs, like the leper, we confess our sins to the Lord as we sing in today's psalm. And through the outstretched arm and the divine word spoken by his priest, the Lord takes away the guilt of our sin. Like the leper, we should rejoice in the Lord and spread the good news of his mercy. We should testify to our healing by living changed lives. As Paul says in today's epistle, we should do even the littlest things for the glory of God and that others may be saved.
John, that was beautifully read. The reason why I wanted to read that was to show what confession is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And to show that like a leper, we can be cleansed by asking for forgiveness and asking for pardon for our sins. Because according to the Bible, supposedly those people that became lepers had committed sins and they asked for forgiveness and they were cleansed. And so I just wanted to use this as an example of what sacrament of confession is all about and how we could make things straight with God again by going to confession.
And it's not only with God, it's within ourselves.
Yeah.
I know many people who I have in practice. I had a couple come to me in practice and they were really, really having awful, awful trouble, and I sensed it was something spiritual. So I said, in all honesty, I really would prefer the two of you go to confession and the sacrament of reconciliation.
That was great advice.
And then come back and let's see what we could work out. And they never went.
Really?
And they never came back.
And they never came back.
You know, the wife did. And she did go to confession. Uh-huh. The husband didn't.
He wasn't ready.
No. And you know, there is a certain element that we hold on, or evil helps us to hold on to our sins, if you want.
Yeah.
And not let them go. And even though people can go to the sacrament of reconciliation, afterwards they say, was I really cleansed? And they go right back to the same negative.
Right.
And I'm saying, you were cleansed, but you're making yourself greater than God. You're not forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what reconciliation is about.
Yeah.
Yeah, reconcile with God, but also reconcile within yourself that what you did was not according to the rules, if you want, and that you will want to change and forgive the things you've done. You know what keeps me close to God is the good thief on the cross next to God in Calvary.
Yes.
Because another perfect at the last example. minute, I got a shot at it.
yeah. And he had a life of sins, and at the last minute, he repented and he asked for forgiveness. And guess what? He was forgiven. The mercy of God and the mercy of Jesus. And that's why I this reading is so impressive to me, is to, so people know that how their soul has been dirtied with sin and stuff like that, they can be cleansed,
and
just like the lepers.
A whole program has been on God's love.
Yeah.
If you think about it, even Trevor, poor Trevor, has God's love in him. You know, what are we going to do?
But, Trevor.
You know?
We love Trevor. We really do.
He's laughing. But you know, I think we should spend a few moments in prayer.
Absolutely.
For our listeners.
Absolutely.
That they have the opportunity today, even on this radio program, to experience God's love in them. And whatever you're carrying, listeners, as your burden, that's an obstacle to you being open to God's love. We ask you now, just look up at God if you want. Look above. Put your hands up if you wish. And say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then keep your hands up and be still. And let the love of God come into your heart. And we know all the wounds that people have in their lives. We've had them. We're a couple of old geezers who have had one.
We started when we were young kids.
Yeah. and we, you know, God will come in and show you his love. And that's the bottom line in any religion, that you're open to the presence of God's love in you. And that's where we're all coming from.
Absolutely.
What'd you have, Tony? You're going to go?
No, I don't really know what I have. I just urge to pick something up, to pick the book up. But what I'm trying to say is that all of us that feel left out, all of us that feel not part of the game, all of us that feel as outsiders, that does not have to be. All we have to do is to turn to God. Tell him we're sorry for forgetting you, and we're sorry, and we're asking for forgiveness. And we're forgiven. And just like the thief on the cross, just like the people with leprosy that were cleansed, we could be cleansed.
And you know, I read somewhere that in days before Jesus, people would offer burnt offerings animals, whatever, human sacrifices to ask God for forgiveness. But since Jesus, especially through the sacrament of the Eucharist at Mass, we offer God's Son to God for forgiveness of us, and he did it on Calvary, and he does it in the Mass, and I believe that.
I believe it too.
And he does touch us.
Yeah, I believe it absolutely. I turned to Isaiah in my Bible book, and it says, "Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, and that shall sow the ground within, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plentiful. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures by turning to God."
That's good.
And so,
you know, and the, again, the whole program has been about, are you open to God? And are you open to his love? That's what we're talking about. We have all these petitions that we pray for. Mm. But I would rather we pray for them, yes. But I want to end with a rousing song, because it has to do with what happens when you finally open up and let God in. And Don Moen.
That's a great ending, Palmer.
And Don Moen.
Great.
It's called Arise. Arise, wake up.
I love Arise.
Arise. Wake up, listeners.
That's what we need.
Arise.
Thank you for listeners, for listening. We pray for your petitions, and we pray for you. And thank you for John Palmer. Thank you, God.
Are you ready to wake up a bit?
Yes.
Come on, let's wake up. Sing along. Clap your hands. Let God in.
And Trevor, thank you for being our guest.
One thing we ask of you. One thing that we desire. That as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives.
Arise. Arise.
Arise.
Arise.
Arise.
Arise,
arise, arise.
Spanish group just arrived. They follow us.
Brothers.
Stay tuned for their program.
Now nearly 30% of